Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me, Scott?
Yeah.
Okay. So, anyway, bit of a crackle there, I don't know what's going on. Forrest Gump dies, and he goes up to heaven. And at the gate, St. Peter's there, and he said, "We're a little bit full up at the moment, so we've got three questions to ask you before you can get in." So he says, "Yeah, what are they?" He said, "Question, how many days begin with T?" Don't know what's going on there, but I'll ignore it. Second question, he says, "How many seconds are there in a year?" He said, and the third question, "What is God's first name?" Forrest says, "It's a bit difficult. I need a bit of time to think." And Peter said, "It's all right. We've got some accommodation. Stay there overnight. Come back in the morning." So he comes back in the morning. So Peter said, "Are you ready to answer the questions?" He said, "Yeah." First question, "How many days in the week are there to begin with T?" He says, "Two, today and tomorrow." So he said, "How many seconds are there in a year?" He said, 12. He said, "How have you got to that answer?" He says, "It's January the 2nd, February this." And Peter says, "I'm going to stop you there. I think I can see where this is going." So he said, third question, "God's first name." He said, "Well, that's an easy one. Everybody knows that." He said, "Harold." He said, "How do you get that?" He said, "Our Father in heaven, Harold be thy name." What's the point of that? The point of that is heaven's quite familiar in our culture. People tell stories all the time about St. Peter, the pearly gates. If you're into music, it's all over the place in music. Bruno Mars told us he was locked out of heaven. The Bee Gees said nobody gets too much heaven no more. Morrissey, in his usual optimistic way, said, you know, he was miserable now. Heaven knows I'm miserable now, Morrissey. The Smiths. There was a song released less than a year ago by Niall Horan out of One Direction, simply called Heaven. Less than a year ago. Spent 12 weeks in the charts in the top 40. Just called Heaven. We're familiar with the concept of heaven. So I'm going to talk a little bit because it's come into our culture in a different way. How many of you heard the expression YOLO? Anyone? What does it mean, Linda? You only live once. Well, I'm going to be totally different. The title of my talk today is You Only Live Twice. I've stolen a little bit from James Bond there, but you know, you'll forgive me. It's very important we understand there's more than one life. I used to get this when I taught at Clarendon. Some of the young lads would say to me, "YOLO, sir." I said, "I don't agree." "You don't even know what it means." I said, "Yeah, I do. You only live once, but I'm going to live twice." That's what I believe. Can you put the first slide up for me, please? Okay, so this is Paul writing in 1 Corinthians. Incidentally, those of you who went to my Bible study, when I looked through my notes, I noticed I got the verse wrong. I think on my notes it's 13, it's 19 actually. "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Wow. So what I'm simply saying to you, what Paul's saying there, what I want to say to you, it is central to our doctrine and belief that there's more than one life. This is the great famous passage, if you want to read more, about the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15. Paul's arguing that if Christ isn't raised and nobody's raised, there's no hope. I think Mark and I were talking a while ago saying about different views about doctrine. There are some things we can fall out about and other things we're not bothered. This is what I think is a central plank of our belief that I could fall out about. Because if we don't believe in heaven, the Bible says we're wasting our time. Paul says his preaching was a waste of time if heaven wasn't going to happen. So we've got to live in the light of that being the case. I'll go on to talk a little bit more about what that means. Those of you who know me, I've said it before, I'm very word-based. God speaks to me in words. That's how I learn, through words. So when I was looking at this, I thought, okay, what do I know about the word? How does it occur? Where is it in the Bible? So if you want to put that up, the idea of the concept of heaven, it appears 440 times in the Old Testament. Sorry, this is slide 2. Okay, 440 times in the Old Testament, around 300 times in the New Testament. If you want to read the Gospels, in the Gospels alone, about 140 times the word heaven. So all in all, rounding up, about 750 times in the entire Bible. You're thinking, well, why are you telling us that? Because it's important. If it occurs that often, that number of times, something important's being said. I had a little bit of a thought this week, which sort of didn't occur to me before. I thought, somebody once told me in the past, and obviously picked up from a preacher somewhere, Jesus talked about hell more than he talked about heaven. Do you think that's right? Is anyone out there? Hello? You're panicking now in case I trip you up, aren't you? Surprisingly, when I looked at it, because I've got a concordance, gives me, lists the word, I looked at the word hell. Give me a guess how many times you think it occurs in Scripture. None. What Bible are you reading? Get out. 1500, Sylvia said. It's a bit like high or low I'm going now. It's about 54 times only. So, if you put slide 3 on, Jesus spoke about heaven nearly 100 times in the Gospels. He spoke about hell only 14 times, 53 references in total. What does that mean? He spoke about the positive more than the negative. And as those of us who stand up here and think certainly the leadership of this church, it would be, that's our view, is to be more positive than negative. Thankfully, the days have gone when you're told off. What we need to do is let the Spirit in to tell us what the issues are. Jesus said, when I go, the Holy Spirit will come. He will convict you of sin. Don't take this the wrong way, but it's not the leader's job to convict you of sin. It's the Holy Spirit's job. That's what he does. Why does he do that? He shows up sin in order for us to understand we need salvation, we need saving from sin. The Bible actually says, none of us come to the Lord without the Spirit drawing us. Wow, what a thing that is. The Spirit draws us in to make a decision. So Jesus was far more positive. He talked about heaven more than hell. Heaven's a real place. The Jewish understanding was three heavens. If any of you have read about Paul, I think it's himself, but he doesn't say in the text. He says, I know a man who was caught up to the third heaven. What's all that about? Well, the Jews believe the first heaven, we look up, we see birds, aeroplanes. The second heaven, the sun, the moon, the stars, planets. The third heaven, where God resided. Old Testament calls it the heaven of heavens, plural. So three heavens in their view. I haven't got time to go through the word study, but if you look at it, basically, the Old Testament and the New, both the same, simply means sky, generally speaking, when they talk about heaven. Slide 4, please. The Old Testament didn't really focus on death, it focused on life. If that means anything to you. They weren't that interested in what happened afterwards, they were interested about what happened now. And I've put down here, those who died before Christ had actually been on the cross. So almost in a sense, they died without understanding the Messiah had come, although the Bible says that Abraham looked forward to my day, Jesus said, and believed in it. They were saved by faith, if you understand what Romans teaches. It's a whole other story to teach about Abraham. But the Old Testament really was looking at now. Very quite, if you like, a shaded understanding of what happened after death. Not a lot of actually information. You have to get as far as the book of Daniel before they start talking about what's going to happen in judgment. It's simply, in a sense, the Old Testament understood, we're waiting there for God to do something. I think it's the New Testament talks about the graves being open, which is quite an interesting thing. Okay. Move on to the next slide. This is important. You'll know these verses. Jesus often spoke about heaven. These verses are important. My Father's house has many rooms, or on the old AV, mansions, I think. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. What a promise. Wow. Jesus said, I've got to go, but don't panic. I'm coming back and I'm going to bring you with me. That's one of the, if you like, biggest hopes we have, that one day, Paul says, now we see through a glass darkly, we can't understand it all, but one day we will see face to face. Ray will remember, he sang a wonderful song for me at my wedding. I can only imagine what it will be like. Some of us need to imagine a bit more about seeing him and being with him, because the whole point of it is to be where he is. I think I said when I was in the Bible study, I listened to a preaching from David Pawson. I love his teaching. I've got some stuff saved on video, I've downloaded. And he does a series of six about the end times and what's going to happen. And he uses this phrase that I use in the Bible study. He said, God is going to change his address, which I loved. Revelation says, heaven and earth is coming, a new heaven and a new earth is coming here. God's not going to be up there, he's going to be down here. That makes any sense. Incidentally, if you want to look it up, the word heaven is used in the book of Revelation almost as many times as the word hell is used in the entire Bible. Over 50 odd times in the book of Revelation alone. So now we're going to look at Revelation, the number... No. We're not going there. But it's important that we believe heaven is waiting. We're going to be with him. That's the focus. Not so much about the place as the person, if you like. It's more about him. Where he lives, we're going to be with him. Okay, number six. Am I okay? Too fast? Too slow? You all right? Still awake? Oh, that's good. Some things we've learned about Jesus said about heaven. These are important things. Heaven offers rewards, not just eternal life. Used to be years ago when we first saw it, football matches, people would hold up this sign that said John 3:16. The verse many of us learnt when we first became Christians. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's whosoever should believe in him should have temporal life. Oh no, eternal. Have you got that? Is it fame that has that line, I'm going to live forever? I once said that to someone, they nearly fell off the chair. That's what the Bible teaches. We're going to live forever. I was tempted this morning in my inimitable way to sit and say, let's have 2 minutes silence, see if you could cope for that long. How long's forever? Permanently. Rewards. Well, at some point, heaven and earth, as we know them, will pass away. I don't want to fall out with the Green Party, but I'm afraid it ain't going to stay as it is. The Bible teaches it'll go. So I don't know where we're at with climate change and meetings about that. Perhaps they need to read the Bible. There will be no sexual relationships in heaven. Jesus said, they will be like the angels. There's no reproduction. That's what Scripture's saying. The word angel simply means messenger. Jesus will come back riding on clouds. Acts 1:11. This same Jesus you saw going to heaven will come back in like manner, it says. It's one of the promises of Scripture consistently. I love that song when we sing about the lion and the lamb. He says at the start, he's coming on clouds. What a thing. What we endure on earth is noted and will be accounted for in heaven. There's a great couple of verses. I think it's at the end of the book of Malachi. I'm going from memory here, so don't shoot me down if I've got it wrong. But it says, they held a conversation and God took note of it. Did you know things are written down about what we do? Again, I don't want you to fall out with me, but this is what I believe. There are two books in heaven. My paper will fall. The book of life and the book of deeds. We'll all be rewarded, the Bible says, according to our deeds. When I was preparing for this, I was thinking to myself, I want to start with a song, and then I couldn't make my mind up. Ray might appreciate this. I looked at a song by a guy called Keith Green. I don't know if... Oh my God, will my name be found when the books are opened? Oh Lord our God, better know now, don't just be hoping. Oh, it's a bit too frightening, that, the way he sings it. Be great for Jeff, if you want to listen to that. Some great guitar playing in that, Jeff. Suit you down to the ground. But we need to know, our first thing is, if you believe in Jesus, Paul says in Romans, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. Also says that God raised Jesus from the dead. We've got to believe in that. I think I've told you many years ago when I was at college studying for my theology degree. I was at an Anglican college. We had a visit from a guy called David Jenkins, who was the Bishop of Durham at the time, who doesn't believe in the resurrection of Christ. So I'm not quite sure where he's at in that thing from Romans, believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth, God raised Jesus from the dead. I believe it. In fact, we'll sing a song about that a little bit later if we get there. We believe. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. Believe that he's coming back again. It's all part of it. Children have guardian angels, ? It says that my angels are in heaven, always beholding the face of the children. Imagine that. The Bible says we can have visitors from heaven that come down and speak to us. They're called angels. Wow. What a thing. I said to Mike before, we're talking about names. There are only two angels named in the Bible. Michael and Gabriel. Jews thought there were seven, but the Bible only mentions two. And they all both end in El, which is one of the names of God. El Elyon, God the Most High. Anything with El in it, it's talking about God, El. So these are important things. When we talk about heaven, I'll focus on them a little bit. Jesus said these things. If we believe Jesus to be important, what he says about where we're going in the future is important, isn't it? Maybe, just being gentle, maybe now and again we need to sort of focus a bit more on what's waiting rather than what's happening now. Sometimes we're so stuck in our lives, we've missed it. I'll go on to that in a minute. Are we all right? Are we coping? Okay, here's Peter, 1 Peter 3. Slide 7, sorry, the next one. Thank you. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and the speed in its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with the promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Peter telling us there clearly what's going to happen. I was thinking about this. Peter says, it's a phrase we often use, you know, with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years. They reckon, I don't know how accurate this is, Jesus probably died round about 33 AD, if you want a date, AD and after Christ. Can't be BC, before he came. So roughly, we're almost 2,000 years on. But if you're reading Peter, maybe we've only had 2 days that have passed. 1,000 years is as a day. Peter said, and the apostles taught, we are in the end times. If we're in the end times then, I think we've got to still be in there now, don't you? It's a conversation sometimes I have with people. Linda often asks me about the end times, and what I find people do, and maybe I'll sort of say where I'm at, people tend to focus on the signs rather than what it's pointing to. It's pointing to Jesus coming back and us being with him. But people say, well, there's famines, there's earthquakes, there's this, there's that. Those are the signs that are supposed to be pointing to something. We should be looking at what it's pointing to, not at the signs. People get tied up with the signs. I've said it before, I'll say it again, worth repeating. Jesus said, nobody knows the hour or the day except the Father in heaven. So can I encourage you, stop guessing. Other than I think I said, David Pawson said it, I almost fell off my chair when he said when he was preaching, I can't tell you the day and the time, but I can tell you the month when he's coming back. I'm like, what? You can't say that. And what he meant was, he's coming back at Passover. And that's when it'll be again. So, what does it mean to us if we believe in heaven? How does it impact us now? Not just in the future. Because that's important, isn't it? What does it mean for us now? If you put slide 8 on the next one, please. This is Peter. I picked out that one verse. What kind of people ought you to be? How should we live in the light of being in the last days now? In the light of the promise that he is coming back? Because people, I think, were having a go at the apostles then and the believers. Oh, you know, he's promised to come back. You've been waiting. Nothing's happened. Quite rich, really. It's probably only 20 or 30 years on when stuff was written after Jesus had died. I think the earliest probably is Mark, about 60, 27 years after he died. Earliest fragment of the gospel we have in Manchester in the John Rylands Library, Gospel of John, 95 AD. Compared to the guy who wrote about the Greek Wars about 300 years later. Said it before, nobody ever doubts the historicity of the accounts of the Greek Wars. But of course Jesus is made up, isn't he? Because the writers were writing lots of years after. On a hobby horse here, so I'll move on. 6 times more evidence for the life of Jesus than there is for the life of Julius Caesar. Nobody ever told me Julius Caesar didn't exist. Interesting. In other words, what difference does believing in heaven make? How does it, or should it, impact our lives now? So as Christians, you know, we sort of say, almost, who's this really? We've got this ticket to heaven. We're all right, sorted out. Put it in my pocket, forget about it now. Don't need to do anymore. That's how sometimes we live. We need to think about, what does it mean to us? How will it affect our values? How does it impact what we tell other people? Next slide, please. Just focus on these for a while. It should help us to focus on the eternal, not just this life. We're all tied up to some degree with how we live here, and I understand that, I'm the same. We've got commitments to things we've planned for, whether it's work or whether it's other stuff. Our focus is not often down here and now. Things that concern us, can I say this, or maybe, well, it is what I think, are trivial in comparison to eternity. Some of what we focus on. We get all het up, whether it's an interview. I've got a hospital appointment Monday, finally. Way! 25 weeks after my 6-week appointment. I've got an appointment at Tameside on Monday. Am I panicking? No. Really? As Job said, my life and my times are in his hands. Let's focus on what's of value. Yes, I know things happen. I think Mark spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, but Jesus said, and it's quite a challenge, do not worry about what you'll eat, what you'll wear. Sufficient the evil for the day. Focus on eternal things. Our minds, according to Scripture, should be fixed on Christ. Fill our minds with whatever is good, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, Paul says, think on these things. How does it impact us? Well, in a sense, it should, to a degree, excite us. I've got to hope that one day I'm going to see him and be with him. We're relying on the Spirit now, aren't we, to tell us and share his presence. I often thought about this. Why didn't Jesus stay around? Well, in a sense, very simply, physically he was one person. He could only be in one place at one time. The Holy Spirit's everywhere. Psalmist says, where can I go from your presence? Nowhere. Can't escape. It should alter our value system. Jesus encouraged us not to worry. Maybe some of us are focused on our finances, which I understand. It's important. If you watch Martin Lewis, he'll sort you out. He knows what he's doing. But often, we can focus on that. We all know the old saying, you can't take it with you. But I think some of us are trying, aren't we? Very trying, no. Can I ask you, maybe, how many of you have made a will? Waving at me. Got savings in accounts. Not a bad thing. Dave Sherman used to say to me, if you save up for a rainy day, guess what? It rains. It's important, but we focus on these sort of things. The Bible says quite clearly, money's neutral. You can use it for good or bad. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. The love of money. Loving that more. And these days it seems at us, the way to be successful is to get a lot of money. Be interesting. Read the story of some of the lottery winners who haven't found that. The Beatles said, money can't buy love. It can't buy your health either. See, it can be used for good or used for bad. It's neutral. We should plan for our next life, not just this life. I talked about making a will, savings accounts. Here's one for you. How many of you check your bank balance weekly or daily? When was the last time you checked your account in heaven? When was the last time you looked at what your rewards are and what you're building up? How are you doing? Have you looked recently? I go on my online and with First Direct, look at what my balance is, what's paid in, what's gone out. I spent how much? Where did I do that? I can't remember where that £10 went. What's going on? Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, Jesus said, where it can't be corrupted. Have you made any deposits recently? How's your account doing? You in the red or the black? See, according to what Jesus teaches, we'll be rewarded for what we've done. Ephesians tells us that God prepared good works in advance for us to walk in. You might be saying, yeah, it's all right for you, but I don't know what to do. Here's a simple way of doing it. Ask the Holy Spirit to tell you what to do and who to see and what to do. Might be what to give. Paul says in Corinthians there are only three levels of giving. Won't get there, but the Spirit needs to tell you. It's not the job of leadership to tell you what to give, it's God's job. Somebody once said to me, and I always remember it, if God can have your heart, it's easy to get your wallet. Nothing in mine, no. It's important, isn't it? What plans have you made for the next life, not just this life? Where's Lisa? She's there. Matthew 25 basically is the basis of CAP. When did I visit you? As much as you visited one of those. Give somebody food. Go to visit people in prison. I used to go and visit a guy regularly in Nottingham Prison. Went in his cell and went to see him for about 2 years. His mum had written a letter to the church. His mum was a Christian and he'd lost his way. And he used to go and see this guy. And eventually he came out and came to church and he was absolutely baffled. didn't know what to do with himself, because I think he thought church was a bit like the Puritans, all in black and white with the big brimmed hats, you know, people's view of church. It's important we minister to others. That's what we're here for, to be witnesses. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. What are you laying up? What good works have you done? See, it used to be a criticism of Catholics. I was brought up a Catholic. They did lots of good work, but they had no faith. But we need both, don't we? I saw a thing on YouTube, you know, you start looking for something and then you're here somewhere looking at something else. Some guy arguing with a Christian about his beliefs. And he said, Luther thought James was wrong. He called James an epistle of straw. Because James said, you've got to be justified not just by faith, but by works also. He said, what good is it if a guy comes into the church and you say, oh, we'll pray for you? He said, no, you need to do more than that. You need to actually physically do something. Give him food or give him clothing. No good just saying, I'll pray for you. Paul said, oh, no, we're justified by faith. I understand that. His reaction to the Catholic Church, saying you had to buy indulgences to get rid of your sins and all, that's another story. But it's both. Bible's quite clear. We're not saved by works, but by faith. I often put it this way. We're not saved by works, but we're saved for works. That's our purpose. How will people see God at work? Bible says he's invisible. Through you and me, we've got to make him visible. People have got to see it. Got to see what's happening. Here's the last one. I'm finishing. Time's running away. How about this? We should be happy and excited about what lies ahead. Wow. Have any of you at the moment booked a holiday? Waiting to go away. You've just been. Bet you're all looking forward to it, getting packed, getting excited. If you're like me, one of these people who, you know, we were going to Barcelona, I buy a guide and find out, you know, what can I see, where I can. Oh, the cathedral by Gaudi. Oh, that'll be worth going. Takes you to the new camp. She'll love that. I can't believe she didn't want to spend an hour with me up in Madeira to go to the Ronaldo Museum. Don't understand it. Do you, Phil? I don't get it. But you plan ahead. You get excited about what's coming. I've got news for you. We're going somewhere better. Heaven. You used to sing, didn't you, Sylvia? Heaven is better than this. Praise God, what joy and bliss. Walking down the streets of solid gold, living in the land where you never grow old. Michael's, sing along with me. As Andre Crouch used to sing, no more dying there, we're going to see the King. I love it when Ray sings and he always emphasises, the King is alive, one of the songs says. Thing to meet him who holds the keys to death and hell. Got a revelation. I don't worry about my future because I know the old song says he holds the future. Life is worth the living just because he lives. Don't know about you, my future's secure. My name's written in the book of life according to me putting faith in Jesus. I love that. I'm sure he said to one of you, just make an entry. You have to put all that, Gerard Francis Michael Kelly, yeah, that's his full name. Put it all down in the book of life. My name's in the book of life. Those of us who have, that's what we believe. But it's not enough just to know that. We've got to live as though it's happening. The excitement, wow. Maybe our worship, sometimes you think, oh, they're getting carried away. Well, no. Wait till he's coming. We'll get carried away. The Bible says, I'll finish, you know, the verses. The day's coming when every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why? Brackets to the glory of God the Father. See, he came back first time, sort of incognito, not really recognized. not even accepted by his own people. The Jews still think the Messiah's got to come. It's not him. We think differently. But the day is coming when, in a sense, he'll do what he doesn't do now. One of the things I like about Barry Woodward when he's preaching, he always says, you've got to give him permission. He won't barge his way into your life. But the day's coming when he'll say, whether you like it or not, you'll bow. Your name is the greatest. Your name is the highest. That's what we're singing. I'm getting excited. They used to say to me at Bible College, if you can't get anointed, get excited. Thank you for listening.